Probably a lot of you in the church know that song from Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It? And the title of my sermon today is What's Love Got to Do With It? And the answer is everything. Everything. So turn with me to Matthew 22. We're going to go over these first couple of scriptures pretty rapidly because we've reviewed them at one time or another in just a short time ago. So we will go over them fairly quickly as we move into the sermon today. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Verse 36 says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And we know that the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up to say that one commandment was more important than another commandment, but it all backfired right strictly right in their faces when Jesus said what he did. Because he says in verse 37, Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hinges upon how much you love God and how much you love others. How much you love God and how much that you love others. Now turn with me to John chapter 13. The Gospel of John in chapter 13. In John 13, verse 34, it says, A new commandment I give to you. This is John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. A new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And we know that for the scripture, this is not a new commandment, but it's going to be new to them because he's commanding that they live it out of their lives. People will know that you belong to me by your love for others. I love to preach on the power gifts, salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and deliverance. But you can preach those things, you can teach those things, you can have those things, but if you do not have love, you do not have anything. And that's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would turn there with me today. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. It says, Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. He goes on to tell us about love. Well, let's go to verse 13 just for the essence of time. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? The greatest of these is love. The greatest of all gifts is the gift of love. Three of the hardest words in the English language is to say, I love you. For some people, it's almost impossible to say. I do not remember my dad ever telling me in my whole entire life that he loved me. Ever. But that was kind of that day and age as well. You know, my dad's attitude was, if I put food on the table and I put clothes on your back, that should be enough. But the problem is that provision is important, that actions are important, but words are important as well. Look at the actions of Jesus. He gave his life so you and I could have life today. But it's not only a gift of love that he gave with his life, he also told us the words that he loved us. Husbands and wives, do you tell each other every day that you love each other? And if you don't, I'm going to ask you why not. You need to tell each other every day that you love each other. I love you. You are special to me. You are the most important thing to me other than Jesus in my whole entire life. You need to be supportive to one another. You need to be an encouragement to one another. What did Jesus say in John chapter 13, verse 34? A new commandment, not a new suggestion. We are so ordered by the Lord of glory, love one another as I have loved you. It made me think, you know, there's so many people, they love their pets and they show more love to their pets than they do their spouse. And I remember an old-time preacher, when he said something that all of a sudden in the church it became really quiet, he'd say, hello, hello. I mean, hello, there's sometimes we just pet our pets and we love our pets, and I understand that. I can relate to that. But I should not love my pet more than I do my wife. Hello? Made me think, you know, there's some pets that are really ugly, like pug dogs. Some people just love pug dogs. They got the nose shoved all the way back. The only way you can tell the difference between one end of a pug dog to the other end is that one end's got ears. That's the only way that you can tell the difference. But some people love them because they are so ugly, they are cute. Husbands, you ought to be able to relate to that. Your wives love you because you're ugly, but they feel sorry for you, okay? So we ought to be able to show love to one another, and sometimes we're just not very good at that, and it's something that we consistently need to work towards, is showing love to one another. The most godly things that we can do as Christians are, I'm going to say that again, the most godly things that we can do as Christians are, number one, to love, number two, to forgive, and number three is to extend grace. God's ministry through the world is built on these three words. For God so loved the world that he gave his own son so we might be forgiven of our sins. And it's not of ourselves. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. To love, to forgive, and to extend grace. Our ministry and our motivation must flow out of our love for Jesus. And because of our love for Jesus, we will love other people. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John 21. John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Ministry flows out of our love for Jesus. Ministry flows out of our love for Jesus. Today in Christian education, in faith school, we were talking about there's some people that you just want to grab and you want to shake them, but you don't. You don't because you feel that restraint of the Holy Spirit because you want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, you want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and you don't do that, even though sometimes you would like to. And it's making that choice that I am going to walk in the Spirit and I am not going to walk in the flesh. What you're doing is there's flowing out of your life the love of Jesus, and because you love Jesus so much, you're not going to do what you would like to do, and you make the decision that you're going to walk in the Spirit, that we're going to walk in the Spirit in all things, that we're going to love one another no matter what we go through. You heard me say here a couple months ago, this church, we need to be talking about love every other Sunday because we're going through a building process and we're growing and it's a challenge. We have to stay in love. You've got to love your pastor, and your pastor has got to love you because that's a requirement. It's not a suggestion. A requirement. True love, agape love, the other directed love, flows out of our love for Jesus. There are a lot of songs out there that say either you don't know what love is or I want to know what love is. And let me tell you something. You will truly never experience true love until you accept Jesus. You know, the scripture says that the young couple should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If you're thinking about getting married, the first thing is you need to be saved. And the second thing is your bride-to-be or your husband-to-be needs to be saved. And that needs to be a requirement in your life, young people, before you will ever marry somebody. Why? Because they will truly love you, never love you in the way that they should love you unless they know Jesus. Can you prove that, Pastor? I can prove it to you. And we will look at the scripture that will prove it to you. There are a lot of songs out there that talk about love, but they truly don't know love. Because the only way that you truly know love is by truly knowing Jesus, because then you will understand the agape love. The agape love of the life-giving, self-sacrifice, giving over other-directed love that we should have for one another. You will never truly learn how to love others the right way until you know Jesus as well. So let's go to a scripture. Let me ask you a question, husbands and wives, first. Do you really want to know how to love your spouse? There's too many people that say, oh, I just fell out of love. I don't love them no more. Why don't you love them no more? We're commanded to love one another, so why don't you love them no more? Well, you know, this and just because of that and because of this other reason, there's no excuse for ever falling out of love. Is there an excuse for your pastor to fall out of love with you? I don't know of any. I don't know of any. There's not an excuse for you to fall out of love with me. We're commanded to love one another. And if we really truly want to love one another as God wants us to love one another, then number one, we need to know Jesus. Why is that important? Because if you don't know Jesus, your love is based on the flesh. God is the author and originator of love. If you are not learning how to love others from God, then you're learning it from the world. Let me ask you, how did you learn how to be a husband and wife? Think about it. If you were not saved before you got married, where did you learn how to love another person from? By example. And let me ask you, how was that example that was put before you? Mom and dad was your basis for your love. Your foundational teaching on love come from your parents, no matter how strange that was. That's what you were taught. Because that's what you were mentored. Because that's what you viewed. God wants to give you a new foundation, a foundation of faith that true love will flow out of. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Dennis was just jumping all over my sermon today. I thought about speaking up to him, but I let him go. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Galatians 5, verse 14. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's what we were also talking about. Walking in the Spirit is a choice. You can walk in the flesh if you want to, or you can walk in the Spirit if you want to. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you will not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you don't know God, the flesh is where your understanding of your love flows from. And think about that just a moment. If you have not been born again and are that new creation in Christ Jesus that he tells us about in the Scripture, then what is your foundational basis for the word love? It's from the world, because you're still walking in the flesh. But if you know Christ and are indeed walking in the Spirit, then that is where your love is flowing from. Look at verse 22 as well. Verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, don't you want your spouse's love to be flowing from that, from the fruit of the Spirit? Of course you do. You want your spouse to be faithful. You want them to be trustworthy. You want them to be patient. You want them to be long-suffering. That's the example that's given before us. Just look at the list. In verse 19 through 21, now look at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word. Back up. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. Has anybody ever known any love like that? Anybody that's gone through the tragedy of divorce has probably experienced some of this, where their love was flowing out of the flesh and it wasn't flowing from the Spirit. And because it wasn't flowing out of the Spirit and it was flowing from the flesh, this is a side that you get. Love, when its foundation is in the world standards, is a flesh-motivated love. What is a flesh-motivated love? It's a love that is all about me. What can I get? Or what can you do for me? Divorce, and how many times it was never about you, but it was always about them. That's a love with a worldview foundation. Now, there's people in this church that's gone through the tragedy of divorce. And you can think back about how that relationship was. Now, was that relationship, was it based on God's view and His foundation? Or was it a relationship that was a worldview and a world's foundation? What you can do for me. What I can get from you. What you're going to provide for me. That's why, young men and young ladies, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you never want to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because their love, view of love, is from a world perspective. You want somebody to love you in the way that you should be loved, that you're wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God, and the only way that you're going to ever experience that love is by somebody that knows Jesus Christ. Because we're going to encourage them in this church to walk in the Spirit so that fruit will be exhibited in their lives. But when you love's foundation is God, it's about the other person. What can I give to them? When you take a couple that is, their love is totally directed toward the other person, I'm telling you that you're looking at a love that is based, that a bond that is unbreakable. Unbreakable. Or unbreakable. I love Carol more today than I did when I first met her, because of the agape love of Jesus that was birthed in my heart and life. When I met her, it was an attraction. I thought she was hot. For a 66-year-old man, a girl, you know, we met when we were young, she was hot. And I thought she was really hot. But when you're 66 years old, brother and sister, you're not hot no more. So why do I love her more now than I did when I was 16 years old? Because of the agape love of Jesus, and because Jesus birthed that love in my life, I cannot share enough love with her. I want to do everything that I can for her, to support her and to love her. And that's the relationship that you should want, and that's the only way you're going to get that relationship, is not being unequally yoked with an unbeliever, but marrying somebody that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because you do not deserve anything less. You don't deserve anything less. God is so good. I'm glad Carol loves me. Sometimes she says, Leo, the only difference between one end for you from the other end is one end's got ears. That's probably the only thing you ought to remember out of this sermon. I know it. The fruit is that which is produced through you, as Christ is the vine. And we don't have time to go into that. But He is the vine, we are the branches. We don't produce the fruit, He produces the fruit. All we do is exhibit the fruit. As we cling to Him, He produces that fruit in our lives. Verse 22 through 23. The fruits of the Spirit, what is the first one that's listed? Love. A tree doesn't produce fruit one time and then you cut it down. No, it produces fruit over and over and over. Church, for our church to be what it can be, the fruit of love needs to be, number one, exhibited, and number two, produced and shown in our lives over and over and over. Over and over. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your glorious truth that is shared with each and every one of us today. And I pray that, Father, this word will speak to the young people as well as us that are older, that we need to have the agape love exhibited out of our lives each and every day. And as our church grows and as it expands, we're going to see and have people come into our church that maybe we've never experienced before, but we want them, when they walk in the church door, we want them to feel the love of Jesus that is being exhibited out of each and every one of our lives. So they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this gathering. We pray over our fellowship that you would bless it, and you would bless the food to our bodies, and the hands that prepared it. And we ask this all today, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you all.